This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Thursday at 4 o'clock, it means the one and only Barstool Big Cat. It's brought to you by my people over at Manscaped, men's luxury grooming tools. The 3.0 did not disappoint. I am telling you, they've improved this. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code Chicago. And Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views.
Nice. Barstool Big Cat. Host of Pardon My Take. And voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Now in the
street there is violence. All right, Big Cat, you were very down last week. I would hope that even though things aren't great, that you can provide a pick-me-up for our listeners and your fans.
I'll try. It's hard. It's day by day, you know. It goes up and down, and, you know, some days it feels like we're turning the corner. I think we need to get to the point now where I feel like a dog that needs a treat. I need a little attaboy. I need someone to get in front of a microphone and get on CNN or Fox News or NBC and say, hey, this is working, guys. Keep at it. Keep doing nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like every time I turn on the TV, it's doom and gloom, and it's like, what's the point? I'm a simple guy. Just tell me I'm doing a good job. Like, point to the screen and just say my name and be like, good job, man. Keep going. Keep watching every single, you know, Netflix documentary and playing video games all day, and then I'll feel reinvigorated and ready to continue to do nothing and save the planet.
Now, you need someone to pat your head and rub your belly and tell you everything's going to be okay.
Yes, exactly. Like, is all that right. Too much to ask for? I mean, I am willing to save this earth, but I need someone to tell me I'm doing a good job.
So yeah. I asked these guys, in all seriousness, how long do you think you can go without sports before you kind of have a breakdown?
Well, I'm going the opposite perspective. How long do I go without sports before I just, like, kind of forget that sports ever existed? Like, hold on to the memories. You know what I mean? Because I was saying this to someone today. Like, this is the first time in my life where I can go to sleep at 10 p.m. and not feel like I'm missing anything.
Right.
There's no West Coast basketball game. There's no West Coast baseball game. There's no Pac-12 game on a Saturday night. A little late night snack in the whack was what we used to call it when Hawaii was playing on the Big Island. There's none of that. So I'm at the point now where my life has been, like, kind of readjusting to this, hey, this is kind of cool. Like, I can go to bed at 10 and not feel like I'm missing something. So if we go another 3-4 months of this, and I'm like, wait, what were sports? Like,
no,
what?
You're not.
I'm going to start speaking BS. French and wearing different, like, you know, nice sweaters and have all these type of hobbies, and I won't even know what sports were.
What won't you take for granted anymore that maybe because of the luxuries that we have in life that you took for granted from the sports world before?
Just sports. Every sport. Any sport. All the sports. Like, I will actually, to really answer it, I will not take for granted, like, any of the, like, MLS. Give me MLS right now. I don't care. Like, why? If they had the MLS season, I don't
usually
know.
The over in an MLS game is usually the play.
The goalies are bad. Yes, yeah. That's true. The goalies are very bad. So, I think it would be more those, sports that are the peripheral sports that you can throw on at random times, and you just always know, like, oh, there's this going on right now. I'm going to miss those because I'm not going to take for granted those, because those are the ones where I've been in the bargaining phase where it's like, give me anything, I'll take anything, and that includes MLS and you name it.
How's the horse racing going?
My track or the regular tracks?
Both.
My track's got a little bit of we've had a couple inquiries. We've had a few issues. I have so if people don't know, they probably don't, because I sit in my living room, and I bought this little old, I think it's like they used to have those old electric football games.
Football games, yeah.
Yeah. So it's an electric horse racing track, and I run a race every single day out of my living room. People bet on it. And there's been some discussion that I don't run a fair track because I've done some selective lane choices and all that stuff. But it's at least getting me. I'm in the mode right now where, like, every minute that I get closer to sports being back is a minute well spent. So I don't care what it is. And you can hear my baby crying in the background. It's mayhem. It's mayhem. I'm losing it.
Are you doping any of your horses?
Yeah, well, yes. Actually, yes. I taped dimes, actual dimes, underneath their bellies to weight them down. And I adjust where the dimes are on horses to try to make them run. I'm doping them all equally. It's like a juice baseball. I want them to run their fastest so all are getting the benefit of it. But, yes, I want the track to start setting records left and right.
You're like the Astros.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. By the way, Astros, we need to just – I'm going to actually put it in my, like, Gmail calendar. Like, remember to
boo the Astros.
To bash the Astros because the big C, Rona, has been just, like, totally it's taken the shine away from the Astros.
You're right about that because, yes, we're dealing with a much larger issue here, and now no one seems to remember about the Astros.
Well, you know, if they do get back to playing as well, there's a good chance they'll be playing in empty stadiums, so there won't be any booing of the Astros when you get back to the games anyway.
True. They're going to get off the hook. So we just need to remember that. Like, I need to put myself, like, a little post-it note on my refrigerator and be like, hey, when sports come back, remember to be mad at the Astros.
What would have happened today in Milwaukee, Cubs opening day?
Oh, man, I can't believe this. Correct me if I'm wrong, this is, like, one of the earliest opening days that ever would have happened,
yes,
right?
Yes, right.
Because they got seven more off days, I think, in the collective bargaining. The Cubs would have won. Did Dave Ross ever announce who the opening day starter would have been?
Yu Darvish.
Okay, it would have been you. That's what I figured. I think the Cubs would have won. I think Yu was going to win the Cy Young this year. What? I could say that. I could say anything.
I know. You're right. You're right. Absolutely right. In a 20-game season, there are going to be 20 games. Yu's going to be 3-0 with a 1.01 ERA, and he's going to win the Cy Young in the National League.
Yeah, so I think the Cubs would have won. The Cubs would have won. Yes, they absolutely would have won.
Do days like this make it tougher where today you look and you're like, oh, wow, the White Sox would have been at guaranteed rate. The Cubs would have been in Milwaukee. We would have been getting set for the Sweet 16. Like, does today make it worse for you?
Yes, absolutely, especially because, the Sweet 16, I think, I don't know what the dates would have been, but I know that Madison Square Garden was a site. I know Indianapolis was a site. Like, if Wisconsin had gone to the Sweet 16, I probably would have gone there. Like, if they hadn't, I would have gone to the Sweet 16 games at Madison Square Garden. So those days, it definitely hurts. Just getting through last weekend was the big thing because that was when it was really, really, like, I was down thinking about the first 4 days of the tournament, how much I love it. So getting through that was the hardest. Now it feels like every day. This is what I'm saying. Every day gets easier until they're just going to cancel sports forever and we're all going to be welded into our apartments and houses and accept it.
You reading books?
No. I did get. Do you guys remember the workout guru John Basedow?
Who is he?
Oh yeah, I think so.
John Basedow. He was like a late '90s, early 2000s.
Like a really skinny
DVD. Yeah. I bought his book and a couple of his DVDs. I'm on a little bit of a spending spree on Amazon that's getting away from me, to put it lightly. So I just
what
bought
are you buying?
That. Just I don't know if I told you guys, but the weighted vest finally showed up. So it is heavy. Yeah. I bought a weighted vest. Last night I bought a head massager that looks like a football helmet. I bought
head
a
massager.
Trumpet.
You're gonna buy those shoes too that have like the huge things in them that affect your they help
higher.
You make your vertical jump higher.
Yes, essentially every single night before I go to bed, I go on Amazon and I type in words that like products that should exist but don't, hoping that they do, and I could eventually be Superman. Like I was looking for lung pills last night. Why don't they have lung pills? Why don't they have pills that make your lungs stronger?
They should in this time, right?
Right, exactly. So I'm getting ahead of it. I bought an altitude mask so I can start training at high altitude. You know those things where you can adjust it, and it limits the oxygen that goes to your brain.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. You'll mess that up. You'll mess that up.
You know what? I like this.
get yourself a Thighmaster and call it a day.
Have you ever used a Thighmaster? That thing burns.
No, I haven't.
It burns. It's not easy. All those things, they make it look so easy on the commercials, and then you get it, like the ab roller, and you get the ab roller, and you do like four of them. You're like, gosh, my stomach hurts. I can't do this.
The one thing I want to do is I want to make my own boat, cut the bottom of it out, and put that, whatever that guy, you know, that says all that.
Flex seal.
Yes. I want to see if my boat sinks, because that to me is the most unrealistic thing that I see on television.
Yes, I've actually long had the idea, and someday I'm going to get around to doing it, but I just want, because I've always been enamored by those late night commercials,
sure.
And I just want to buy them all and test them all out, and that one is definitely, Flex Seal is definitely on the list, the knife that cuts through shoes.
Yes.
There's that, like, ladder that they sell that's, it folds into, like, 1 foot tall.
Yes.
And then it ends up being, like, a 30-foot ladder. I want that. So, yeah, I think I'm going to start doing that. Like, that's definitely where I'm trending if this quarantine lasts much longer.
Waddle, do you remember that piece of exercise equipment was very popular in the 90s? And some of the old guys at WGN Radio loved it. It was a seat, and you'd be sitting, and there were handlebars in front of you, and you'd pull the handlebars towards your chest, and it would make you, like, basically hump the machine. Or like
I can't say that I know what you're like, talking about.
Are you talking about, a rowing machine? A rowing machine?
It was like a rower, but it was more of a sitting in a chair. And it was very... Cap was on this for a while.
Who's the dude with the ponytail that used to
do
these?
He's the gazelle dude.
Okay. That's Tony. Tony, what's his name? Tony something.
Not Tony Robbins.
No. It's Tony... He's got the blonde. He's a little bit overweight, but he's
Tony Little.
Tony Little. There
yeah.
you go.
Mm-hmm. All those guys. This was like this weird seated thing, and it was the most boring activity you could possibly. Someone's got to help me on this. Like when you pulled it forward like a rower a little bit, but it was much more compact and it didn't have a rope or anything big.
So,
and it would make your seat like glide as well with the motion.
So you're at the WGN sports office, and in between smokes, Tom Brenneman's getting a workout.
I always remember Hub used to hop on this thing and get in a good 10 minutes before his sports cast.
I wish you hadn't told me this, because now I'm going to buy a Tony Little gazelle. I'm looking at it right now, $200, and it folds up right into the corner of your apartment.
Okay.
Here, I got an idea for you. Why don't you just buy a treadmill?
No.
No. Come on. All right, so here's the problem. Is like you guys are both under 200 pounds, I would say, right? Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So you guys don't know the pain that over 200-pound men like me go through when it comes to treadmills. There are many treadmills out there that I'll get on, and I'll just flat out not trust. And you can feel it almost instantly in the bounce that treadmill is not built for you. I'm telling you, there are guys who are sitting, probably not in their car, they're probably sitting at home right now, and it's usually at, like, you know, if you stay at a La Quinta or something, and you hop on the treadmill, and you can just feel the band is like, no, this guy, you're not supposed to be on this. And I don't trust it. So I don't trust treadmills as a exercise, like, genre. I don't trust them.
Yeah, that talks to you. It's, get off of me, fat ass!
Yeah, no, seriously, it does. It kind of gives, like, a little hiccup, and you're like, uh-oh. It, like, catches, like, the tread actually, like, kind of slows down for a second and skips a beat, and you can just tell that it's a problem.
I don't want to be on the fourth floor if you're on the fifth floor getting a good treadmill workout. And your condo is above my condo. Yeah, I know how that goes. Yeah,
I practice dribbling my basketball every single day, so it's not a big deal.
We have one of our smarter listeners, Big Cat, who has tweeted you. We'll read the tweet in the break. He's giving you a pep talk. You are obviously not a Belichick guy, because you can never go. Belichick would never give you a compliment. But we're going to pick you up a little bit. I want to know your favorite 4 days on the calendar. Could be sports or anything else. And a few other things. I had a problem with something that your coworker did yesterday, And we'll get but I don't want to start a war because I'd lose the war. But I want to bring it to your attention and see what you think. All that is next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We continue our conversation with Barstool Big Cat, brought to you by my friends at Manscaped, men's luxury grooming tools. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code Chicago. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Bob in Rosemont tweeted you, Big Cat. Said, hey, Big Cat, you're doing a great job. You are the goat of social distancing. Not since MJ created 6 feet of space from Brian Russell has anyone done more with space than you. Keep up the great work.
Love it. Love
it. Is that you crying or is that your son crying?
That's my son crying. It's tough. We're working out of the home. We're doing the things that the CDC says, but it's a strain on everyone. I think I told you guys last week, but you never really understand how small your New York City apartment is until you have to live in it for 2 weeks and never leave. We have, some of these tweets are very funny. I like that now that we do it in two different sections with the break there, because I can catch up on Twitter. Someone said they got a hernia from the ab wheel. Surgery was 4 weeks ago, and then they burned the thing. And then Waddle, some guy said, Sal said the flex tape works. He has it in his garage door. His garage door is being held together by it for over a year now.
I thought it would probably work. I just don't know that I'd like to trust it in a boat to keep the bottom of the boat held in place.
Yeah, maybe not deep sea fishing. Maybe take it out on a little lake. Yeah, and then Dave Todd had the best one because he said that I'm spot on. He confirmed what I was saying about treadmills. He says, I'm about 240, and the belt skips forward under the forward pressure of your stride when jogging. Sprinting, if better, but jogging feels like you hyperextend your knee. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's not every treadmill, but you'll get on one and it will scare you for life.
What it does is you buy one, Big Cat, and then it forces you to get under two bills, two spins. That's otherwise, you've wasted your money.
Yeah, this is like a never-ending cycle.
Yes.
I can't get on a treadmill because I'm too fat, and then I'm too fat because I can't get on a treadmill. It stinks. Everything stinks.
All right, give us your, then let's think of good stuff. What are your best, your favorite 4 days on the calendar? You always tell us that you know what season it is based on, like, what's coming up. You could say, all right, it's spring. I got the Masters. I've got Final Four. I've got opening day of the NCAA tournament. I got the opening day, this and that. If you have to narrow it down, any day on the calendar to four, give us from four to one.
Okay. Four to one. I'm going to go with number four. It's Thanksgiving Day. I love Thanksgiving Day. You got football. I mean, it's basically, you know, a holiday built around football. And it's also the one day of the year where you're invited to eat to the point of being sick. I love Thanksgiving Day.
Me too.
Number three, I'm going to have the first Thursday of football. So the kickoff for the NFL. And that's more of a what's to come kind of day, where it's like you hit that day. And you know the next, like, 4 months are going to be full of football and life is good again.
Gotcha.
Good one.
Okay. Yeah, that's very good.
Right. Number two is not a date. It is a floating date. It is the first spring day in Chicago. The first day that it's really nice.
Okay.
And everyone comes out of their, you know, shells and they're like, oh, my gosh, like, kind of looking around, waiting for winter to come back, and it's like, oh, wait, we can actually, you know, wear shorts or put on a T-shirt. That first day when you get that taste in your mouth, and it's you know, it's like 6:30 at night, and it's just a beautiful day, and the sun's setting, and you're like, we made it. We finally made it. And then, of course, in tragic fashion, my number one day on the calendar year is the first day of March Madness.
That's what I thought you'd go with, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that hurts.
It does. Nobody that had hurts. That, believe it or not, of the four of us. And we all gave our four. Like, we love it. It just missed for me. But, like, because of Waddle's epic Super Bowl party, the Super Bowl is on most of our lists now. Yeah. Super Bowl Sunday.
Really?
Because
Super Bowl is number three.
Well, I mean, Waddle throws such a good party. There's so many people we love who are
football.
There. Huh?
That's the NFL. A lot of these days that I'm picking are as much the day as what's in front of you.
Right.
Like, the first day of March Madness is like, okay, now we got 4 days in front of us of March Madness. The first day of spring, it's like, okay, everything's in front of us. The first kickoff for NFL is like, we're back. It's ready to go.
So it's okay to have several alphas. Maybe an omega is not a bad thing either.
Super Bowl, come on. Is that the only party you throw every year? That seems like a cop-out.
Every Friday I throw a party.
Okay, there we go.
It is a good party. I know you're at like some, you're at the big Barstool
party. I haven't watched a Super Bowl outside of my podcast studio in 6 years.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm working on Super Bowl Sunday.
That is right.
Look at you. Hey, by the way, have you introduced yourself to Joe Exotic?
Yes, I finished it last night.
I got two episodes left.
Unbelievable. What a story. I mean, if people haven't watched it, the best part about the whole documentary is like the little things that get brought up along the way that aren't even part of the main story. And you're like, wait, that should be its own doc. Like, they have the guy who is basically the basis of Scarface on, like, for 10 minutes, and they just pass over it. They're like, yeah, this guy, he owns a bunch of exotic animals in Miami and was busted for, like, 1 billion tons of cocaine, and they wrote Scarface about him. And then that was it. Like,
Whoa, time out. Is that legitimate that's the guy that Scarface is based on, the movie?
Not exactly, but he said yes. Like, a lot of things from his life were borrowed for Scarface. Okay. And they just passed over it. It's like, oh, yeah, that was just part. Like, the guy who's got no legs. And he's like, yeah, a lot of people are asking if Tiger's bit off my legs. Actually, it was, a zip lining accident.
Right,
like, what?
Right.
Like, what are you talking about?
Right. It was too crazy for me, Big Cat. My wife and I watched two episodes, and we're like, I don't like this guy.
Sylvie doesn't think he does the singing on his own albums.
Oh, I don't think he does either. I'm pretty sure it's actually a fact he doesn't. But they're all detestable human beings. Like, none of them are good human beings.
Right.
I think that's actually the great part about it is, like, they keep on introducing new characters and find ways for the new character to be more hateable than the last character, and you can't turn away.
Some of these shows, like, they're four episodes, and you could get them done in an episode and a half. This one's, what, four total?
It's seven.
Seven. No one realizes that.
I've only watched two. And
I know, that's
five
what I'm
more.
Saying. Yeah, you got five and more, dude.
What do you have to do? There's nothing to do.
I'm watching Game
There's
of Thrones.
There's literally nothing to do. You're watching Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
I'll save you the rest of it. The ending stunk.
Everyone says that, but it was still a good watch up until then, right?
You know what I found about this series, though, is that the things that you always expect to happen in some of these series usually happen. I've only watched the first two seasons, but I think the one thing that I've recognized most about Game of Thrones is you're not expecting to have happen what happens in at least early in this thing.
Wow, okay.
Correct. And that's also why some of the gripes at the end happened, because it felt like they deviated. That is why the show is so great for the first six or seven, seasons, because they do things differently than what you're expecting.
Right. All right. Before we let you go, I love the pizza reviews, obviously. One bite, everyone knows the rules. Portnoy does that great. He's owned that. I thought he was too hard on Home Run in a frozen pizza. I think that's the goat of the frozen pizza industry. I don't think it's close. And I thought he just, for him to think that it was just okay, he didn't give it a bad rating. He didn't give it a good one. Did you watch that review yet?
I didn't watch it, but I could tell you, like, none of the frozen pizzas are going to get a fair shake because they're not graded on a different curve. He's grading it like it's a regular pizza, and there's always a difference between. I agree with you. It's a great frozen pizza, but there's always a difference when you order from, an actual pizza place and frozen pizza. By the way, a certain colleague of yours might have sent me a text today. He's trying to get Dave to do some pizza reviews. Maybe
Cap,
he knows someone.
You.
Yeah, maybe he knows someone who's close to him that has a relationship.
Oh, is he trying to get him here to do Lou's?
No, he's getting the frozen pizza. He's going to get it delivered. So.
All right, there you go.
He offered to send me some too, but I literally have like six in my freezer right now. No joke.
Yeah, you got to have
it. You're getting on the treadmill, so you can't have pizza.
Right. I'm on a diet now. I'm on a diet now, guys.
All right, Big Cat. Take care. Keep your head up. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, you are. You're doing
fantastic. Look, just
don't
one day
pander,
at a time.
No. Oh, actually, no, I asked for this. You're right. Keep going. Sorry. Yeah, I forgot that I asked for this.
Look, don't be so hard on yourself. You're doing the best you can. You know, when you
Thank
look at
you.
Yourself in the mirror, look at the good. Don't look at the bad.
Quit doping those horses, too.
Okay, well.
Nope. That's absolutely not. Can't do that.
All right, Big Cat.
All right, see you.
All right, see you guys.
He's the best Barstool Big Cat every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Rob Manfred spoke to Scott Van Pelt. Oh, what do we expect for a baseball season? He's still fairly optimistic. We'll play you that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
But I'm finally getting the Twitter poll up, brought to you by Toyota. Chicagoland Toyota dealers, we appreciate them. They appreciate you. They're with you through thick and thin. And they will be here as soon as everybody is as well for you as well. What is your favorite day on the calendar? The four that I'm putting up there, Waddle, I use Big Cats because Miller and I both took Thanksgiving, so there was only three number ones. I think this will be a really good vote here. I'm not sure the way it will go because we've got Christmas, we've got the college football opening weekend, we've got the first day of the NCAA tournament, and we have Thanksgiving.
I think Thanksgiving's going to win because it's universal, at least for most. It's a universal holiday, whereas Christmas, obviously, there's a religious, attachment to it. So I think the universal nature of Thanksgiving, I think you guys are going to nail it with that. And that's going to win.
Probably between Thanksgiving and first day of the tournament.
Yep, I agree.
I think with most sports fans.
I think
you guys
are underestimating Christmas. I think it's going to give it a fight.
Okay.
Really?
I do, yeah.
That was okay. Who was that? Was Waddle's
that
number
was me.
One?
Yeah, it was my favorite.
So,
I like to eat. Don't get me wrong. Okay, I like to eat, but like I don't like to eat as much as you guys like to.
Well,
eat.
It's just like with Big Cat. You're not an indulger like Big Cat and me. Just like you said, with you can't drink a full bottle of wine. I can. You don't pig out on desserts. I
no,
do.
I don't like desserts.
Yeah, I know. Like there's nothing better than filling your stomach up with a really, really great dinner and saying, oh, but I'm not done because I got a really, really great dessert coming my way. And then after that, I'll have an after dinner drink.
Like, I don't look for dessert. I don't know why. No. I mean, like, I like food. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I'm not.
You don't savor dessert like we do. Yeah.
I don't ever have dessert, really. Very rarely will I have dessert.
That's why you've stayed at 185.
I used to eat ice cream all the time. I don't anymore.
It like right into your wheelhouse. You get like or my wheelhouse. You get pecan pie. You get sweet potato pie.
For Thanksgiving.
Don't like either of those.
It's neither. Like see that's the problem. You have a bad palate. Waddle. That's why you don't enjoy Thanksgiving as much as us.
I knew Waddle didn't like to eat desserts the moment we went to Arizona for the first time, and he didn't know how to eat a cone.
That's right.
An ice cream cone. It was it was the soft serve ice cream cone, and he didn't know how to eat it.
Well, the weirdest thing was
enormous.
The weirdest thing was you offered, halfway through your cone, you offered the leftovers to Sylvie and I. Now, granted, this was before coronavirus, so maybe it wasn't as
I offered it to the Uber driver first.
Yeah, but it was an odd, like, hey, you guys want some? You kind of licked it all over the cone.
In the food sharing department, the ice cream cone is not one that you prefer to share.
It's low on the totem pole.
All right, here's Rob Manfred. So he was on Scott Van Pelt yesterday, who, by the way, has been doing a great job every night sort of setting the tone, what we're facing. And the toughest part is the unknown. I mean, I think we could all hunker down and get ready if we knew that there was an end date, but none of us, one day it's good news, the next day, well, wait a minute, now we're too optimistic. So no one knows where this is going. And Rob Manfred talked about, when it is finally over, that baseball will play this season.
The one thing I know for sure is baseball will be back. Whenever it's safe to play, we'll be back. Our fans will be back. Our players will be back. And we will be part of the recovery, the healing in this country from this particular pandemic.
Well, I didn't think baseball was just going to go away.
Well,
I
mean, Abdallah, that's what Abdallah was selling us in the pre-show fist
fight.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, this is what I agree that it'll be back. So will the NHL, and so will the NBA. At some point, they'll be back. I don't think that baseball is going to be banned or the league is going to just disintegrate. So, like, well, that's kind of a platitude, isn't it?
Abdallah,
isn't that the
share with the class your sentiment?
My point was this. If you can get baseball back and you can play close to 100 games, whether it's doubleheaders, like, I don't want a season where every team is playing two doubleheaders a week. Or, you know, you're rushing to get through a 60-game season and you're not even playing half of the games. Because what's the point? You're going to award a 60-game champion and you're going to put more teams in the playoffs just so you can get some games in? Because then if you're trying to drag games into late November, early December, if Scott Boras, who's joining us tomorrow at 3 o'clock, has his way of playing games on a World Series Game 7 on Christmas Day, then you're delaying the start of the offseason. You're delaying winter meetings. You're delaying the GM meetings. You're delaying the owners meetings. You're delaying all this stuff. Pitchers who normally have an entire offseason don't have that entire offseason to rest their arms and get ready, where we're seeing more Tommy John surgeries than ever. It's for the better of the league if they can't start and get at least half the games in to just say, you know what, not this year.
What I would tell you about the pitchers, though. Then make sure you don't gas them this year. Put them on a system.
Paul Papst was asking a different question on Dan Patrick. He was going oppo. He said, if you're going in a sprint mode and you're only playing 80 games, would you try to go to a four-man rotation?
I wouldn't.
And because then now you're just toying
you're
with guys'
ruin
arms,
these
right?
Guys. Yeah. And here's, I would rather be the team that cheated and won a World Series with a full season than played a 50-game season and won a World Series.
No way.
What would you rather?
What are you going to give them, half a trophy? That's ridiculous. You're going
to
have to go through a full
postseason still.
So what? You're only playing 50 games. That's like saying, oh, we're going to have an 8-game NFL season and then go to the playoffs
well,
and award
a second.
Champion.
Wait a second. Time out. There have been seasons where there have been an abbreviated season.
You play 100 games.
Stoppage,
you play
right?
82 games. I get that. You play half the season. Half the season is okay. But to play 40 games or 60, 50 games, that's ridiculous.
But I don't think it was. It's not. It hasn't been since like 81, because remember in 94, they actually did not play
the World Series. I would still go. If you come back August 1st, like Manfred said, it's important to all of us now. Like, it's really important to get all the normal back. So if you could come back in August and play a full August, a full September, a full October, and then do postseason neutral sites in November.
Well, that's 90 games, though. That's fine. That's 90 games.
Well, you told me the pre-show, you said in August, if they came back August 1st, you said, what's the point?
I don't like the idea of getting rid of doing the postseason in December. First of all, no one's going to watch, because people are watching football every night. Like, it's not going to happen. No, they're not. No one's going to watch.
We would still watch the one game.
People don't watch as it is.
But there's no football on Tuesday night in December.
Okay, so you get one night a week. You get Tuesday
and You get Tuesday and
there's
Wednesday.
No Wednesday.
I mean, okay, you get Tuesday and Wednesday. You get two out of the 7 days. The rest of them have football
games.
High school games. People aren't at home.
No, high school's done by December.
That's true.
But what about NBA playoffs if they're going up against that? Like,
The merrier, at this point.
I guess the NBA, with NBA, like August is like their drop dead, right? Or September.
Right, and
they
would finish sooner because they have less of a season to play.
Yeah.
I think at this point, to suggest that it's got to be at least 80 games or we're not, you don't want to see any of it all. I'm on the other side of that argument. Even if it's 60 games, I think because as with regard to playoffs and a World Series champion, it'll always be remembered as the odd season because of the pandemic, and it will be looked at differently. That World Series championship team will be looked at different than others
Maybe it will be heralded even more, Waddle, because maybe whatever the city is going through for that city to win a championship helped heal everybody. Do you know what I mean? We've always talked about the importance of sports. Like the backdrop that the 80 Olympic team played, the hockey team, with what was going on in this country, made it even more special. What were we just watching, too? Michael Jordan's comeback. Michael Jordan's comeback in 95 came against the backdrop that there was no baseball, there was no hockey. It was during work stoppages. So maybe even though you're playing shorter, instead of looking at it in a less sense, maybe some of the heroes will be even bigger because of what the country has gone through.
And I would suggest to you, to ease your pain, Adam, or your concern, trust me, they have every intention of playing as many games as humanly possible, because there's thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions and billions of dollars attached to all of these games.
That's cool. People will be watching the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, and the NFL. I mean,
there will
be
enough to go around. There will be enough.
Not everyone's got eight TVs.
It's better than nothing. It's better than just saying, okay, we're going home.
I mean, I think it would be better for the sport if they did, because you're going to ruin. First of all, anybody that wins the World Series that year is going to have an asterisk next to them. Be like, you only played 60 games. Congratulations.
That's fine.
That's ridiculous.
You're going to be thought of that way anyway.
312-332-3776. Do you agree with Abdallah that there will come a point where they shouldn't even try to play? Or do you think that this is important, no matter how abbreviated the season is, to get some of this back, even if they come back in August or September even? 312-332-3776. Rob Manfred, more on him too. Talked about doubleheaders, shorter games, seven-inning games. I'll play you that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
A lot of people going after Abdallah on Twitter.
Yeah.
Alexis Ortega says, did Adam Abdallah just say that he would rather be a cheater than to win in an MLB 50 or 60 season, a game season? Unbelievable. Worst take over, bro. Sorry.
Adam?
Yeah, I'd rather win a full season and know that, you know, we may have skirted some rules or whatever than play like three games. Imagine going to the NFL season and be like, we won a season with six games. That's the equivalent. If you went to the NFL season, we're like, we're going to play six games and then we're going to go to the playoffs. That's the equivalent of what you would do to the baseball season.
Lug says there's no asterisk next to the Blackhawks Cup win in 13. That was a shortened season.
Well, in my mind, there is. There may not be one on paper, but I know that they didn't play a full season.
What about, did the Heat win?
Was it the Heat in the shortened season?
Yeah, asterisks. Short season.
I don't think, was it the Heat?
Yeah, or was it the Spurs?
It was the Spurs. It was the Spurs.
Was it the Spurs?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Well, the Spurs won the first lockout in...
No, I think you're right. I think it was the Heat. Was that the Ray Allen year?
Because remember, Derek, they were the number one seed that year, right?
The Bulls were.
When Derek tore his ACL against Philly. And I think that's the year the Heat won their first title.
If all of these seasons were shortened, none of that would bother me. Because I've been an advocate for years of shorting or making the regular season shorter.
I hope this delay takes that take out of you.
No.
Come on now. You just told me the other day that you would happily watch like a Cubs preseason, an exhibition game.
Dude, this is an exception to the rule. I do expect at some point we'll get back to a sense of normalcy. Hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. But I'm not expecting the pandemic to be here for the next 20 years of my life if I'm able to live that long. My hope is in the 2021 season it is normal. And when we get back to some sense of normalness or normalcy, I would be all on board for 142 or 150 games.
John says, okay, Sylvie, you need to put a stop to your naive show minions opinion that they should just scrap the MLB season. Small market teams would never recover. Combination of attendance revenue and revenue sharing is what keeps them viable.
All I would say to that person is at me if you're going to come at me. It's at Adam A. Abdallah. Follow and subscribe. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And wrestle.
No, if you're gonna talk crap, come at me on Twitter. So don't just subtweet. Let's
Are you going to fight him?
No, just, you know, I got shooters.
The Heat did win the 2011.
What does that mean?
They beat the Thunder in the finals.
Oh, that was when they beat the Thunder. Yeah, that was their first.
The old Durant, Westbrook, James Harden.
Harden team. That was a good team. They were just young.
The fact that these seasons are going to be, if in fact they do get back to work, they're going to be modified and shortened, leads me to believe that there's no chance that any of these seasons going forward are going to be shortened, because they're going to be in the recapture the revenue phase of what they do going forward for years to come.
What's the fewest number of games you think MLB plays to constitute a season? 50?
Yes. They will still say... The world needs baseball, and we need normal, and we need to play.
We need money.
We need some money.
If baseball gets the A-OK to play, and NBA and NHL are carrying on with their playoffs, there's no reason for them not to.
Right.
I'm just wondering what's like the shortest amount or the fewest amount of games they play in a season.
50 games is 30%. Would you be okay with a five-game NFL season?
If I had to, nothing, yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
no,
well,
you
dude,
would not
yeah,
well. Be.
Give me
oh yeah, my
three,
God.
Three NFC North games and then two.
You guys say it now because you don't have sports to watch. But if someone came to you and said, guys, next year we're only playing 30% of the games, you would have such a big problem with it.
But if
the Packers won a Super Bowl, you'd be like, oh, you won this season when we only played 30% of the games.
That's the key is that we are in an unusual situation where we're not going to get maybe all that we're hoping for. So at this point, we'll take it. Now, again, when you get back to a normal state of business, then you're right. In 2021, I don't want a 5-game NFL season. I want a full 16 at that point. It's 17-game season. But based on the circumstances that are in front of us, I'd rather have little than none.
Yes, yes. Can I play Rob Manfred? This is on shorter games. Could they possibly play 7-inning games? And could they possibly have double headers? Take a listen.
We certainly have talked about the idea of using double headers to maximize the number of games that we play. I think I have said publicly before that there's some numbers in baseball you can't change. 9 innings is one of them.
I'm with you.
When I said that... I wasn't thinking about this particular crisis, so I'm sure it's something that will get some discussion.
So he didn't, if you listen to that whole answer, he didn't write off the possibility of playing some 7-inning games.
But only in doubleheaders, right? Not just regular games.
Something
because I would ask you, what's the difference if we're worried about getting the most games in possible? Really, what's the difference between playing a 7-inning game and a 9-inning game? Maybe an extra 45 minutes or an hour? How is that going to upset the apple cart?
Yeah, and it changes everything. I mean, it changes the way you strategize a whole game.
I'm not a fan of, just in general, in normal times, I'm not a fan of cutting I like a good 9-inning baseball game.
Peter in Lombard, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Peter.
Yeah, at this point, I wouldn't even need a regular season. Let's do a playoff. The television people are going to pay a lot more for that for a playoff, and everybody's in. Everybody in Seattle's happy. Everybody in Milwaukee's happy. Everybody's got a chance. And we're all aching for sports. Everybody would take it. What are you guys going to think? Nope, don't want it.
Like you're talking about like the NCAA tournament-type tourney with MLB,
football,
right?
Everything.
It wouldn't be my first choice, but if it was that or nothing, I'll take that.
Yeah, and I think this is just like Smoltz was saying, this is a way, remember, Manfred's been wanting to put in more playoff teams because the season would be so short, they would probably have a couple of extra playoff teams in each league. Just so that way it's more open. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and listen, guys, if in fact they get the green light, they're going to play as many games as possible, and the players are going to consent to them as many games as possible because it sounds like their compensation is going to be tied to the amount of games they play.
Yes.
So there's incentive for everybody.
For everybody, right.
So they're not going to just come out and just haphazardly just play a few games. I mean, trust me, these guys are going to try to maximize the amount of money that they're – these guys, even though a baseball career can last significantly longer than an NFL career, it isn't for their entire life. So some of these guys, a lot of these guys are going to want to get every single check they can.
All right.
Because they need it.
Greeny's going to join us. He'll weigh in on this and just get his thoughts, well-being check on Mike Greenberg, one of our good friends. He's on this radio station for many, many years, friend of the show. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on next.